This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Guys hitting us up saying Dukes and Bell, Brock Vandegrift does sound impressive. Let's hope he can play as well as he speaks. Listen, the kid's dad is a coach. So, you know, he's grown up in this. That always, in my opinion, gives kids an edge when your dad is a coach like this. But for those of you who just missed it, we replayed the interview from our morning show. And again, big shout out to Abe and everybody on the morning show for getting this young man who is just a junior. He'll be a senior this next season and then on campus next year for the Dogs, but he's a big five-star, man. And, you know, as we said, when you commit to Oklahoma, Mike, you can pretty much pick and choose wherever you want to go around the country. He had already decided to go there and then says, nah, I think I want to stay closer to home. But I love the fact at the end of the interview where he was like, well, we got anything to say to Dog fans? He's like, let's get a national championship.
I mean, yes, as we said, yes, please. But the idea, you're one of those guys that has, like, you know, your dad takes out that manila folder. Actually, you probably need two file folders for, like, the 30 or the 40 letters you got and then how many major programs you got close to kicking the tires on. So it's great news for UGA. And we said, things go from, like, Fromm leaving, the offensive line turning over, and, like, oop. People kind of freaking out, including you. And then now you start to see, you know, I mean, like, again, Jamie Newman's going to have to prove he can do it you could argue a stiffer level of competition based on what the ACC's been the last few years. That's not hating. That's facting. But certainly now when you throw Todd Monken in the mix, getting more out of these athletes, coaching up the wide receiver core, hoping the offensive line can step up because that's the hype around this recruiting class year after year, Carl. You're just reloading. So if you're going to be Bama, well, you're not Bama until you won the Natty, and now you're not LSU until you win the Natty, but you've got all the things in place, and I think this could be a very interesting year, man. I think certainly you feel a lot better about playing Florida. You feel a lot better about now, not maybe as scared, or maybe you're still a little nervous. I think everybody's nervous about week three against Bama, right?
Absolutely, on the road. I mean, you know, and you don't play them every year. Bama's still going to be good. I mean, listen, we all, you know, we take it over the top when Bama doesn't make the college football playoff. They're still going to be good.
You don't think Saban's going to address the defensive shortcomings? Because they weren't that dominant defense we've seen.
Of course they are.
And maybe some of that's because Kirby's not there anymore.
You know, now that doesn't mean, and what I think has happened with Alabama, and this is a good thing for college football, but I think we've caught up. And when I say we, I'm talking about the dominant powers around college football, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's Clemson, whether it is an LSU or Georgia, that there isn't that distance there once was back in 2009 when they started this thing and you go, they were just so much bigger and better than everybody else. But they're still going to be good. I mean, that thing is not going away quite yet. So, yeah, Mike, it is. You're a little apprehensive. We got to go on the road. Tuscaloosa to play Bama next year, that's the big one.
And look, it's not like Bama fell off the planet. I mean, they're still number two right now in recruiting. Georgia may still leapfrog them, but according to rivals, Bama's two a lot, and maybe we overdid it. But I think you could argue that this was one of those years where the coaching turnover at Bama hurt you in some of the areas, perhaps. Or at least, finally, you know, every year you just keep finding those great coaches that can still do those things that Saban wants to do, and maybe some of that wasn't there this year necessarily. Well, obviously, we all know if Tagovailoa goes out, all bets are off.
Yeah, and by the way, Clemson's not going anywhere either.
Number one recruiting class, according to Rodgers.
They are going to be on a mission to get back and finish. So as much as we've talked about, you know, the positives with the Dogs, this thing doesn't get any easier. It's not like these teams just fall off. It's Dukes and Bell. More on the Dogs coming up at 4 o'clock. Also at 4:40, Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, will stop by the show to talk to us about the latest moves. If you're just joining us and you have not heard, Marcell Ozuna, 1 year, $18 million deal with the Braves to help us in the middle of this lineup. So Alex Anthopoulos is on the way. Right now, though, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL. News and notes from around the league. This is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, I want to start with Thomas Dimitroff. Our staff, the Atlanta Falcons, is at the Senior Bowl. This is a kind of an every-year deal, Mike. Obviously, if you're not in the NFC or AFC Championship game, or going to the Super Bowl for that matter, you know, everybody's got people down there trying to find a diamond in the rough or maybe get a look at another kid that they've seen or maybe watch tape on. Thomas Dimitroff, Mike, says that this draft class, what's this remind you of? This draft class might be deep enough
to get us three starters.
And famously in 16, Arthur Blank, after the 15 collapse after starting 5-1, said, listen here, Dimitroff, Quinn, bang your heads together until something useful comes out. I need three starters, you numbskulls. Three. And they technically they got four if you consider Brian Poole, who was an undrafted free agent. But you got Devondre, Keanu, obviously. And again, we thought they'd go linebacker first. They went safety first. And then Debo in the second round. And needless to say, we took those guys all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It is crazy to think back that it played out the way it did. But here's what TD had to say.
We're hoping that we could, have a really productive group again and try to be creative with how we go about it. I mean, that third pick, I think it came out at 55, which is good for us, of course. So, yes, I think it's a possibility.
All right, so we have three picks in the first two rounds. Remember, we got two second-rounders now. And we'll let you hear more Thomas Dimitroff coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as part of our Falcon Report. He gives an update on Austin Hooper. He also talks about Vic Beasley. Stay tuned. That is on the way.
No more tattoo beds, by the way.
Your wife said no more.
Yeah, she put a kibosh on that.
Because she was going to have to look at it. Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. They bring you our NFL Blitz segment. All right, Antonio Brown, Mike, this story was breaking yesterday, and now we kind of get the gist of what happened.
Now, the good news is for people that hate the cops de-escalated this thing, okay? They didn't call SWAT. They didn't say, we're coming in! Apparently, Antonio was on the couch going, I ain't coming to the door! And so the cops just said, I'll chill. And so we back it off. Apparently, they had a moving company come in, and I don't know, did somebody drop a piece of Waterford Crystal? Some of his stuff came down from Pittsburgh to his house. Allied Van Lines or whatever it was is out front. And apparently his trainer starts swinging on somebody.
Yeah.
He's swinging on Cubs.
Come on, Snoop. When I heard this, because we thought, again, this was more about Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
It's about his trainer. But still,
he's the police are knocking on your door. Yeah. I mean, most of us now, again, I know everybody's experiences are different, but most of us would then come to the door, but not in this case.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have went either.
Lock the door? Come on. Yes, you would.
I don't know if I would have went to the door either.
Well, what are the odds that you're going to beat up a moving company guy?
Well, that's my I'm just saying. You never know. But if it was one of my boys and they came to get him, I don't know if I would have went to the door.
That's different. But apparently suspecting the battery of the driver of the moving truck. Again, the police, and again, as I say, just give them credit. They just said, you know what? This is the last thing we need is to have incident with Antonio Brown and all the stuff that comes with the helicopters over the house. You know what? We'll come back later and figure this out. And they did.
And that's the way, again, you said it, de-escalate. That's perfect. And that's what they did. So nothing new specifically with Antonio Brown. And the only reason this, again, is a story is because it was at his house. But, Mike, I just don't know how this helps you moving forward. We're going to get to an offseason, and everybody's going to be asking the question, where is Antonio Brown going to try to play? Is he going to try to play?
He's never going to play. He's never played another down in the NFL. This is not happening. I mean, because two things. Drew Rosenhaus said, is he going to conditionally get back in representing him? Does this mean the only way you could actually rationalize some of the things that have happened in his life in the last 12 months is CTE, in which case nobody wants him in their team anyway. I mean, I just don't know what you make of this, Carl. Remember the helmet he wanted that was such a big deal with the Raiders? You walked away from nearly $30 million. And look, in Antonio's defense, just to play devil's advocate, the NFL has slow-rolled this investigation with the former trainer of his now. Come on. You talk to him, you talk to her, you talk to a few witnesses. That takes 8 months? Because that's also, if I was Antonio Brown, I'd say, look, I'm also in limbo here because you guys will not conclude this investigation.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and it's not. It's funny in the sense that, again, you're at the peak of your career. You could be playing in the NFL. You still could be making a lot of money, and you destroyed yourself. And so now, there's no sympathy whatsoever for your situation. When I said Antonio Brown was crazy months ago, and people said, oh, he's still making money, and then the Patriots let him go. And now you're in a situation where you've had these off-the-field incidents. Mike's right. He's done. Why are you going to take a chance on a guy that could explode any moment and bring negative attention to your locker room or, for that matter, be a distraction to your team? Teams aren't digging that. And if the Patriots didn't give him a shot, nobody is.
And this has been an amazing 100th year of the NFL. And I know the last thing that Goodell and his minions want to deal with is Antonio Brown stealing thunder the week of the Super Bowl in South Florida. So what's that? Hey, Bo, what was that phrase in the movie Days of Thunder? Remember Bill Thompson? Was it Fred Thompson, the senator? They call it, Carl, Japanese inspection. When the Japanese get some lettuce or some vegetables they don't want to, they want to bring in the country, they just let it sit on the dock till it's rotten. And that's basically how the NFL is handling Antonio Brown. Just let him sit there and molt, for lack of a better word.
All right, man. We will see if anything else comes out of that story. Meanwhile, Mike, Jay Gruden, former head coach of the Redskins.
I like him.
Looks like he's going to be the next offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, you're going to stay in the business, right? You know, I mean, the Redskins, it was what it was. He was, you think he wanted Haskins or not? I was getting the impression, I mean, you know,
I don't think he did.
You know what you have. You know, the Alex Smith injury obviously was a buzzkill 2 years ago for him. But, yeah, I mean, I think as an offensive coordinator, trying to get more, the Foles contract seems like it's a damn albatross around their neck, like it has been for anyone else who gives them a contract other than the Eagles. And then, you know, you got a great running game. You're letting that defense kind of, you know, you're squandering the defense. You lost one of your best players. Hot mess down there.
It is.
I also saw that Freddie Kitchens has been signed by the Giants coaching staff.
See as that? What?
I presume to be involved somehow in the offense.
Okay, because we know Jason Garrett is the OC. Mm-hmm. There are rumors that Jason Witten may join the Giants staff in some capacity. Okay. Listen, there's a place for Freddie Kitchens. I don't think you can debate that. He was on the Brown staff prior to getting the head coaching job.
Right.
The issue is, again, getting these head coaching jobs, Mike, when guys are not necessarily ready or they're not able to build the kind of culture that teams want. And, you know, I'm not saying the guy should never work again. There's a place for Freddie Kitchens. I just don't think he was a good head coach.
Apparently, he and Joe Judge have a connection that goes back to the days with the other Bulldogs.
There you go.
In Stark Vegas. So that's why he's going to be doing something, whether it's quarterback's coach or whatever.
All right. Cowboys' number one priority this offseason is to get Dak Prescott signed to a long-term deal. This has been an ongoing debate even through the summer when I was, you know, telling people there's no way I pay Dak Prescott $30 million, and I still don't. I'm going to offer Dak Prescott, Mike, if I'm the Cowboys, 25, 26, 27, 28 million bucks. I'm not offering him 30, and I want to see where these negotiations go. Remember, the Cowboys could franchise tag him if they really, really wanted to.
I think that's what's going to happen here.
And, you know, I think when you're Dak Prescott, you've got to realize you're not the best. You're a top 12 quarterback. You're not a top 5 guy. So I know that they're going to say, you know, listen, guys like with the Eagles got his money. Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, and the comparatives are going to be those kinds
Garoppolo
of players.
Garoppolo got paid. Kirk Cousins got his. I mean, and again, nowadays, I don't know if agents want to look at that and say, give me more money up front. I'll take shorter term, but I'll take more guaranteed money. Although, if you're Dak, you want to have as long a contract as possible. You want to still go get out and get another playmaker at wide receiver. And by the way, you know, when you and I were talking about the Cowboys when they blew it, remember the days they were just floundering down the stretch? I was really hot on taking shots at Kellen Moore. And then I went back and I looked at it. Maybe it's only when I'm watching the Cowboys they bogged down in the red zone. The red zone performance took a big jump up. And Kellen Moore actually did some good things, but that's probably the reason why he is sticking around with the Cowboys, which is interesting.
All right, so we'll keep an eye out on that, but that's what their number one priority is. And last but not least, Mike, if you are the Dolphins, do you find a way to get to that number one pick and maybe giving up your entire draft, seriously, get Joe Burrow?
Let's take a look at it, because if you guys are familiar, it's what's the phrase they use? Units? How many units is a valuation from jumping up from 10 to number 1, from 5 to number 1? According to what we looked up earlier today, and Bo has it here on as well, you would have to basically give either everything this year. You may have to give a first round next year, even just to get up from 5. Mm. So would you be willing to give up you're swapping your fifth with their first, and maybe a second rounder, maybe a third rounder, and a first from next year? Now, I don't know what the Dolphins are cap-wise, but it could be just what they do to get it done. The Browns are super cheap. This would always kind of play in. I mean, the Bengals, I should say, owned by Mike Brown. This is the kind of thing they would do just because you keep their overhead down because they can keep doing it through draft picks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's logic behind it. If you were, you know, again, Bengals fans might march on the stadium and burn it to the ground.
You by the way, the Dolphins can still get a quarterback. Guys, we know all the quarterbacks are coming out in this
draft.
They
could actually trade down and still get Tua.
That's my deal. I think that's the smarter play than moving to go get Joe Burrow. But here's the deal, Mike. What if the brass is completely sold and they're saying, you know what, this is our Tom Brady. This is going to be Brady. We're going to go win divisions for the next decade, and we're going to play in a few Super Bowls. That's how much they believe in his ability. Then you give up the draft.
You know, it's interesting that Jacob Eason, a guy that, you know, obviously we didn't get a chance to see him finish his career at Georgia. And he also had the old quarterback's coach here. It was Bush Hamden was the OC that was nothing really special for Washington. He could be a guy that Eason, he might sneak away up the charts, Carl, by really impressing, you know, at the combine. Yep. He's got a cannon for an arm. Everybody loves Justin Herbert. I'm still not sold. And maybe because I'm prejudiced against Oregon, I just don't believe in that guy. But Herbert's a guy you see in a lot of mock drafts going to the Chargers, and they pick right after the Dolphins.
More coming up, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. We're chasing down Andrew Jones. Stay right there. We hope to talk to him in just a few minutes. But right now, your chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
You're on the beat. What's the beat? B-E-A-T. That is the word. Now you need to text it to 72881. Did you ever cover beat, by the way?
Yes, I did, Carl, for Wink Television. Yes, they gave me the prime position to carry and follow the Fort Myers Miracle, the minor league team for the Twins. It was a real cub assignment.
I was going to say, yeah. Beat is the word, guys. Do not drive and text. Remember, message and data rates do apply, that is. Text right now, beat, to 72881. It's Dukes and Bell. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. And Bell, we've been tracking this guy down. We ran into him a couple of different times, and we're glad to get him on today on the program. Mike, he is a guy that, as you said, took the city by storm when he became a Brave at the tender age of 19 and went on to an illustrious Major League Baseball career. Andrew Jones jumping on with us here on the program. But Andrew, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are y'all?
Well, first off, man, how you doing, brother? I mean, do you follow whenever the Hall of Fame vote comes up? Are you paying attention to it?
I do. You know, I mean, you got to keep up with all your peers that you play with. And, you know, obviously, you know, seeing Larry Walker go in, you know, I play against him a lot of years. And, you know, especially Derek Jeter that I played against him in two World Series and 2 years with, you know, being in New York. So, you know, you follow everybody. You follow all the I mean, I'm a baseball fan. I love baseball. So I keep up with baseball all the time.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, Andrew, we were having this conversation yesterday when the vote came out. We were saying, you know, guys like Jeter, you're in one place so long and you have the postseason kind of impact that he did with the Yankees. But the Larry Walker thing, and my point, and I guess my question to you is, when you're playing against these guys, you know, every year, do you ever just, you know, did you ever sit back and realize how great certain players were? You know, you hear the hype and all the circumstance surrounding them, but as a player, did you ever just sit back and go, man, this guy's really damn good?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, get a chance to play in Major League and then play over 10 years, you did something special. So you're already special right there. So everybody that get a chance, the opportunity to get to the, you know, get on the ballot and make it to the exclusive, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, for the baseball, it is, you know, beyond honor. So, you know, all those guys that make it, you know, they always been special. So, you know, everybody have their stories. Everybody know what they did and all this stuff. So, you know, it take time, but, you know, you're special already when you play in the Major League for 10 years.
Right. It is Andrew Jones with us, guys. A 10-time Gold Glove Award winner. 2005 was a Silver Slugger, and, of course, a 5-time All-Star. Joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's go back in time, man, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you in a while. When you're 19 and you get called up to the pennant race, and next thing you know, you're playing against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, did it all flash by you? Can you actually go back and remember what it was like?
I mean, I still remember. I know, you know, you don't forget those moments, you know, especially when, you know, everything kind of go your way a little bit, so you don't forget this moment. You know, I think the front office, Bobby, you know, Scholes, they knew what we were facing in that 96 World Series or in the playoff. You know, they know that we were left-hander heavy lineup, so, you know, you saw they called Jermaine Dye up, then they called me up, so they wanted to put some right-hander bats in there because they knew what we were going to face in the playoff and going into the World Series if we made it. So, you know, everything kind of worked out in the way to give me on the map and Jermaine Dye on the map. But unfortunately, we did not win the World Series. But, you know, our name came came out there, so people started knowing about us.
Yeah, that they did. Andrew Jones joining us here on Dukes and Bell. You know, there were times, and I want to ask you what made you a great outfielder. There were times balls would be hitting, I'd be like, he ain't going to get to that. And then you make the play, and I'm just like, damn, how do you make that play? Time and time again. And Mike just laid out all those gold gloves. What made you a great outfielder? Because guys always talk about being able to pick the ball up off the bat, and it seemed like you were able to do that very easily.
Well, first of all, I had so many great, you know, minor league coaches that helped me a lot. I mean, I think, you know, one that goes always through my head is Gary Pettis. You know, tremendous outfield, one Gold Gloves in the major league in center field position. You know, trying to continue to learn every day, and you know, and trying to prove your skill. I mean, I took defense very, very highly on my priority. So when I went through the minor league, you know, everybody looking at the minor league, it's like, oh yeah, he's a good outfielder, but he's a way better hitter than he is. But you know, I took my defense very, very serious, and you know, when I got to the major league, what kept me on the roster in 1998 was my defense, because I have not started the season on the high level with my bat, and then I end up, you know, picking it up later on and end up finished with 30 something home runs. But you know, my defense was the one that everybody was like, hey, we cannot keep him out of the lineup, so I have to be in the lineup.
It is Andrew Jones, guys. First chance we've had a chance to speak with Andrew in a number of years, as we just talked about the Hall of Fame balloting coming out. What could you have done differently that the average would have been up? What is there anything you could have done different with your approach that would have helped you?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of things. You know, whatever, you know, every, you know, just maybe trying to get more hits. You know, my mind is, you know, I was in the lineup. You know, you have a lot of bombers, guys, that drive the ball, so you get in your mindset you want to drive the ball more,
right?
And you know, that came into, you know, a lot of strikeouts, swinging and miss and stuff like that. But now it's so many stuff that, you know, things, you know, you can go back and say so many things, but I won't take anything away what I did or what I didn't do, because I would not learn from them. So you know, I'm pleased with my career, and you know, and you know, everybody will go back and say, hey, I wish you could have changed this. But if you went back, you changed it, you will not know what you know now. So
right.
I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those guys. And, you know, I'm pleased. You know, I play over 10 years in the biggies. A lot of people don't get a chance to do that. So I'm very honored to do that.
Yeah, and you played at a high level. 51 home runs in 05. Speaking of changing things, what changed that year for you? Was it just you were seeing the ball? That was an amazing year for you.
Well, I just came out of a down year in 04, and I think I hit 20-something homers. And, you know, the previous years, I hit 30 home runs consistently.
Yep.
You know, it was a down year, and everybody was like, ah, you know, this and that. So it kind of got in my mind that I needed to make adjustment on my approach at the plate. And you know, since the off season, I went in the batting cage, and I work every day. I work on being consistent with my stand, new stands, and being consistent with my approach through the ball. So, you know, went into spring training, kept working on it, and it paid off in the spring training. I think I hit like 12 home runs in the spring training. Mm-hmm. You know, everything kind of went that way. And you know, I think, you know, you work hard, you work on stuff that you want to improve. And when they pay off, you know, it looked good.
You know, so much, Andrew. As Andrew Jones joins us here, guys, on Dukes and Bell, when we talk to guys that played in this, you know, in the great era you played in with these stars, is Bobby Cox. Was there any difference when you go to another clubhouse about the manager or the vibe, or was it noticeable about what you had here in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, I had Bobby Cox since I was a little kid, and I developed into a man with him. So, you know, when I go to different clubhouses, you know, after I went there, I went to the Dodgers. I had Joe Torre there. You know, he had that mentality as Bobby Cox, but he was not Bobby Cox. And, you know, I never been under him, like I did Bobby Cox. So, you know, then the next year I was underneath Ron Washington. You know, Wash is, you know, he know what I do and he know what I did through my career, you know, but he's not Bobby Cox. Then after that, I went to play for Ozzie Guillen, that a guy that I play with, and it was a really close friend with me. You know, as my manager, I had a great time because, you know, he know what kind of player I was, but you know, he was not Bobby Cox. So, you know, even with Joe Girardi. So, you know, it's different. You know, you got to make adjustment every time when you go to a new team. I think the second year when I played with the Yankees, it was a little different with Joe Girardi because I already played 1 year with him already, but the other managers, it was like 1 year and you're gone, 1 year and you're gone. So, it's a little different, but, you know, I think, you know, it's tough to be a manager, to be honest with you, in the league, because you have to deal with 20, 25, 30 personalities. So, you know, it's tough for everybody to, you know, get to know each other in a short period of time. But, you know, they managed to handle the players in a way and to make things work. But nobody like Bobby Cox. I mean, Bobby Cox is like my second dad. So there's a lot of respect to him.
Andrew, what are you doing now? A lot of people go, what's Andrew Jones doing these days? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm still part of the Braves organization. I'm a special assistant to the baseball operation.
Well, we see you at the ballpark. We run into you various places, and I know, you know, Atlanta Braves fans love you, man. And you got, I think, one more year remaining on the Hall of Fame ballot. I think you just answered this, but I got to ask the question because you said it. I'm proud of my career. I had a great run. I wouldn't go back and change anything. Whether you get in or you don't, does it change anything for you? Obviously, everybody wants to be in.
Well, I mean, you know, you played a game for a long time. You put numbers. You love the game, and you know, I think all the things you do end of the day when you get rewarded to be known as a Hall of Fame is something special. I'm not going to lie to you. Just you can ask anybody that play over 15 years and put great numbers. You know, they're all looking like, oh man, you know, I would love to have that call to go to Hall of Fame, to be on a special stage with all the greatest of all the time.
Right.
So that will, you know, I won't tell you, I will lie to you if I say I don't want to get that call. But, you know, there's a lot of things on the end of the day, you know, it's people that need to throw you in, and I cannot control that. I know all my peers know what I did through all my career and how I went about my business every day defensively to help everybody and offensively.
Well, we always appreciate you coming on the show. Again, when we said you were coming on, immediately on Twitter, he should be in the Hall of Fame. So all of Atlanta's got your back. And by the way, I know you've worked with Ronald Acuña. Do you see a little bit of yourself in Acuña and Albies, these young guys, and all the fun they're having?
You know, I think the fun that they're having, yes. I would love to be, you know, being right there and having fun with those guys because I see like they're having, you know, great time. And they let them do that. They let them enjoy the game and then on the other hand, they're playing hard. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest to tell you that I see anything in anybody. I mean, it's only going to be one Ronald Acuña. It's only going to be one Albies. It's only going to be one Chipper Jones. So it's hard to say, hey, you know, this guy remind me of me or this guy remind me of him. So, you know, skills are there. Skills of every kid's going to continue to grow every year. So, you know, I'm just proud to be there to help them and guide them and you know, just tell them things that, you know, I went through and hopefully they can use it on the long run.
Andrew, thanks so much today, man. We appreciate you jumping on with us. We look forward to seeing you at the ballpark and elsewhere around the ATL. Thanks for coming on Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me.
You too. Appreciate it.
Very cool stuff, man. A lot of guys hitting us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929. So it was great to hear Andrew, period, in a long-form interview. And just, again, you know, Braves fans feel the way that they do about him. And, yeah, you look at the years and you look at some of the other guys that are in and you go, well, he had a run of about 5 or 6 years. And if 5 or 6 years becomes the benchmark, then Andrew should be in.
All right, guys, we got more to get to. Yeah, man, no, man. A little bit earlier today, we got Alex Anthopoulos speaking of the Braves at 4:40 today. So Bo will join us next.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down.
Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan.
Now, normally.
Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more.
I've done that every day, Mike Bell.
Yeah, you are now 17 for 17 on our new sponsor for stepping on the tweet.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
You and I have talked about this. It's the unicorn. It's the perfect show, right? Now, we've been a little bit late a couple of times, but like with Andrew Jones.
Well, then it's not the perfect show.
With Andrew Jones.
The listeners don't know what time we're supposed to go to
commercial.
Yeah,
they don't know.
Tell them, Mike.
They don't know. They don't know that, right? So I was going to let it go. Andrew Jones was phenomenal. I appreciate him. I've been talking for a while. We
Thank
got
you,
AA
Andrew.
Coming up later. We got the perfect show going. You're throwing a perfect show.
I do it every day.
And you step all over my intro.
We did have a no-hitter going.
I do it every day. All right, and now it's going to become a thing. All right, real quick, I was going to say, and by the way, the sponsor, read it, Bo, so people know who the sponsor is.
The Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com. for more info.
All right. Now, if you normally join us in the 4 o'clock hour, you're going, who's this Bo Morgan guy? This is our executive producer. We do a segment called Yeah Man, No Man. Mike and I's thing is, hey, man, you've tried our Hey Man L.
Mm-hmm.
We say, hey, man, you see us on the street. So here's the deal. Normally, we do this at 4:40. Alex Anthopoulos, Bo just said it, is going to join us at that time. So we move Bo up today. Enough about why I want to get to your segment, but that is the reason why. And there may be new people listening to you today, Bo.
Yeah, Squid Nation is going to grow. It's always growing. I mean, it's a great thing. Or the ever-expanding Squid Nation. All right. I don't like to do serious sports talk in my segment.
Yes.
But, you know, the Senior Bowl is going on, and it's one of my favorite events. I love it. I mean, I wish we got to go to it. We don't, but we get to talk about it, and I enjoy that. And the Falcons have a big presence this year. Unfortunately, they have to be down there because they're not preparing for the Super Bowl.
Right.
And Thomas Dimitroff was talking to reporters, and they were asking about guys that are going to be re-signed. And our guy, D-Led, was in the middle of this asking questions.
Thomas, with Hooper's situation, Campbell, and picks on the list, too. How do y'all think that whole puzzle's going to come together for y'all?
Mike Bell's not, he's not thinking that he's still on the list, is he?
I got him on my list.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know. Maybe he's not concerned anymore.
Right.
What did he come up to? He came up 2 sacks short, right?
Right.
So let me say this. That is our general manager, Thomas Dimitroff, making fun and having fun
right.
with something Mike and I had fun with almost the entire season once this thing kicked off, which was if Vic Beasley got to 10 sacks, Mike was going to get a tattoo of Vic's face on his butt. Mike Bell, they listen.
Now we're going to, instead of my wife, we're going to say Falcons listening, watching,
judging.
No, at least, and if you couldn't make it out, because apparently, D, there was a lot of wind blowing down there in Mobile, a blustery day in Alabama. But D asking him about the future of, you know, what's going on with Devondre, and then mentioned Vic. So there you go. That's how Thomas answered. So yeah, I guess they are paying. We always joke around. I've always thought nobody gives a crap what we say up there, but you beg to differ.
Yeah, listen, and I'm not saying this to like pump my chest. I've been doing this a long time. And I would always, when I used to cover teams and be in locker rooms and I had talk shows,
right.
I'd say something about a guy and I'd go cover the locker room. And you'd have guys PO'd about something that was said. And you're like, bro, what's up? Why are you mad? Man, I heard what you said. I mean, I didn't appreciate it. And it dawned on me that not only players listen, even though they won't acknowledge it, but front office people listen. And if they don't listen, they've got people who are listening who are telling them what is being said. And it's not like they're monitoring us to tell us what to say. It's just like with everything, Mike. If somebody had a show and they were talking about what you do in life, you probably want to hear what they had to say. And in sports, that's what we do. So I find it funny. This is a beautiful thing, actually. And for everybody who thinks that the Falcons hate us and, you know, you guys don't ever get this, that, or the other, that tells you. After the season is done, there's nothing we can do about it. Thomas Dimitroff is joking about Mike and this tattoo and how many sacks Vic had. I love it.
I'm excited.
Well, look, this brings up a very good point, though.
Yes.
D-Led asked Thomas if Vic is on his list.
Right, right.
Thomas goes, well, is he on Mike Bell's list? So Mike Bell, now we know that D-Led has him on his list for the Falcons to do something with.
Yes, he is.
So Mike, Carl, Dukes and Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Is Vic Beasley on your list?
No, I would get rid of Vic. I would totally move on from Vic. No, man, I'm still waiting to see if Tack's going to do it. Look, if Vic could have gotten those sacks, and by the way, Vic had a better year than we certainly expected. In a million years, I really didn't think it would come down to the last game of the season when we joked around when they picked up his $12.8 million option. And unfortunately for Vic and for people that wanted to see his face on my tookus, Jameis Winston is the last guy you were going to get on the ground. He's always been able to make quick decisions, right or wrong, and they're mostly wrong that Sunday, but he always steps up in the pocket. There's only one shot that Vic really had at Jameis. But getting back to the initial point, if he could have done that in the losing streak when we needed the heat and been the game, that's when you're a playmaker. That's when you're a difference maker in the game. I'd say, yes, bring Vic back. Now I'm like, no way, Jose. We got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, but I needed to see more impact during our 6-7 game losing streak, 6 games. And what I mean by that, even if we lost the game, there were games statistically where he didn't show up. Not enough tackles, no forced fumbles, no strip sacks, no interceptions. I mean, you go down the list, pick one or two things. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff transpired during the losing streak. That is what difference makers do. And to Mike's point, we've been on this, guys. We said it last summer. We had fun with Vic. God bless him. I know he's a great individual. I know people in his family and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a performance business. He's not giving us what we need. We need more pressure at the edge rusher position, and we got to address it.
And the same goes for Tack. Now, Tack's got a guy. You know, he's got to step it up this year if he wants to get that fifth year as well.
And don't be surprised if they go ahead and up Tack and they say that they're going to pick up the fifth year and then wait and see and maybe make a decision after the season
because
they have that
option. Right? What's the magic day? It's the new league year.
Mid-March.
I think this year it's like the 17th or something.
But if you pick up the guy's option, right, for the fifth year ahead of the – and the fourth year when he gets injured, aren't you obligated?
The only thing that – it's injury guaranteed, but I – and I have to look, but I believe there is a clause in there, obviously, if he couldn't play that next year.
Right.
So there is an injury guarantee. I mean, if it's a massive injury and he can't come back then for that year or for the next year, then yeah. But it's smart business to pick it up, and then you see what happens in that fourth year, and then you can still decide. All right, we've used all of our time. We were a little bit late.
Uh-oh.
But one more time, Yeah Man, Nah Man is brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjets.com to learn more. Ken, hit my music.
All aboard!
Yeah, we learned yesterday that Ozzy's got stage 2 Parkinson's, but the tour will kick off here in Metro Atlanta at State Farm. So I know I got my tickets.
Pretty cool.
Seen Ozzy about 10 times, but yeah, man. Hey, good job there, Bo Morgan.
Yeah, man. And by the way, we do that segment normally 4:40 every day. So again, for those of you who normally are not listening at that time, we know our audience, you know, changes. That's Bo Morgan. All right, coming up, we got dog conversation to get to. We also are going to talk to Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager. We will ask him about the newest Brave, but also what was the plan in the offseason and have they succeeded? It's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.